Hi, I'm Susan Evans from susanevans.org, and today I'm going to talk about how to pray with your spouse. Yes, most believers do not pray with their spouse, and this is super, super sad for me to hear, because in Scripture, God commands husbands to lead their wives spiritually. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 27, the husband is supposed to wash his wife with the word to present her holy and blameless. Okay, so basically, if the husband and wife do not pray together, then they are not one spiritually. Okay, so I know pastors and missionaries and people, great walks with God, who have an individual walk with God, and they are not one with their spouse. The sorrow of it all is that husbands and wives, that's supposed to be a picture of Christ in the church. Ephesians 5:32 says that. And so how is a husband and wife, how are they supposed to interact in a marriage? And today I'm going to be talking about praying and how praying can draw you closer together in intimacy physically. It can draw you together mentally. It can draw you together spiritually, emotionally, and in every way. Okay? And I have experienced this in my life, and it's scriptural. Okay? And so God wants you to be one with your spouse. That is what God wants. Okay? And what God commands, He enables you to do, okay? He provides that supernaturally. So the first step is to pray that if your spouse doesn't want to pray with you, pray that God would change their heart about it, okay? Or that God would change your heart about it. There was one woman out of the seven that was in my, well, several actually, in that came to my prayer Bible study in my home last fall. And they were saying that they did not want to pray with their spouse. At least one said this because they didn't feel comfortable praying out loud. Well, okay, so that's actually how my husband felt when we first began. So I'm going to show you what to do if either you or your husband doesn't want to pray out loud with each other, and what you can do about it. Now, all of this audio assumes that your husband is saved. I'm assuming that I'm speaking to a woman and that that your husband is saved. If your husband is not saved, you can still pray with your husband, but your husband's prayers aren't heard by God if they don't have a personal relationship, you know? I mean, because there's unconfessed sin. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if you have a sin in your life, God doesn't hear your prayers. So I'm talking about an unbeliever doesn't really have access to God until they're saved. But there's scripture to help women who have unsaved husbands. And those scriptures say that they can, that your husband can be won over without a word by the demeanor of their wives. So if you are supernaturally doing something impossible, walking by the Spirit in great measure, this Holy Spirit emanating from your face at all times, your husband can see that your life is being transformed by God, and then he can come to know Christ. So if your husband is not saved, I would pray for his salvation. That's where I would start. And I would ask God to transform me and how I act towards my husband so that he could come to know Christ. Now, you shouldn't have married an unbeliever. So if you're saved and you married an unbeliever, you sinned, because scripture says that you are not to be unequally yoked. So you're bearing the consequences of the sin against God that you committed. If you were not saved and your husband wasn't saved and you have come to know Christ since then that wasn't a sin. Well, you know, I mean, you didn't sin in being unequally yoked. You're the same. You were both unbelievers. So, but there's a way out in all of those circumstances. What you do is you pray for your unbelieving husband to be saved, like I said, and to transform you in a way that's miraculous so that he goes, wow, God has done so much in your life. You're not the way you used to be. You know, you're not selfish anymore, and you give to me more, and you blah, 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 or whatever, you know. And so that is the case if he's an unbeliever. So now the rest of this audio is for people who are already believers. Okay, so if your husband is a believer, that means that the core of his being wants to please the Lord. When you are saved, your old nature passes away and your new nature comes in. You are a new creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are a new creature. You are a saint. You are no longer a sinner, but a saint. You do sin all the time because of your flesh, the world, and Satan, but you are transformed the time that you are saved, okay? And you continue to be transformed until you meet Christ at death, okay? So that's called sanctification, and it is a process. Sometimes it's a slow process. Sometimes it speeds up, and you have a huge growth spurt every once in a while. That's great. So basically what happens is, if your husband is saved and you pray together, you will see his heart, and it's really, really appealing. It's very sexy. In other words, when my husband prays, I am deeply attracted to him. Why? Why is that? It's because he has a heart for God, which is often not seen in the mundane day-to-day of doing the chores around the home and stuff like that. So if you're not connecting on a spiritual level, just praying for less than 5 minutes can cause you to have a much deeper intimacy, a much deeper relationship, a much better oneness. So I love that. I love that he is, okay. By the way, just because someone stumbles in their prayers does not mean that they're inferior to you whatsoever. They're connecting to God for real, okay? And so, actually, within a husband and wife relationship, God often withholds information from the woman and gives it to the man so that the woman on purpose can get wisdom from God through her husband, so that the husband is the head and the wife yields to the husband and, yes, submits, and the husband loves his wife like his own body. And it works when both of those things are in place. It does not work when the husband is a selfish pig and the wife submits. That's a living hell. And I know from other people's experiences that I love dearly that this is so. So you can't just make a blanket statement that you can just submit and everything will be great, because for me, it did work that way. I submitted, I yielded to my husband, but because my husband was already self-sacrificing like Jesus, it worked, okay? So what happens is, both of you have to be on the path to greater maturity in the Lord. But a lot of times women think that they are closer to the Lord than their husbands, and this arrogance reeks to high heaven and is a sin. Okay? So if they're saved, if your husband is saved, he has the ability to shepherd you. That's for sure true, because scripture commands men to lead their wives spiritually. So, so God enables that to happen. Okay, so your husband is able to lead you spiritually if he is saved, even if he has only been saved less time than you, or if he spent less time in the Word of God than you. Okay, for me, I've studied the Word of God for thousands of hours. Oh my goodness, I've spent tons and tons and tons of time in the Word of God, studied it deeply, richly. And you know what? My husband leads me spiritually. He has a greater wisdom. He derives his wisdom from God. And you know what the funny thing is? And I shared this in the other audio about wisdom, how to get wisdom from God through prayer, okay, is the fact that my husband didn't know what he was doing. He didn't know how to lead me spiritually. He had no clue. So what he did was he freaked out Godward, okay? So like I would come to him with a specific issue that I was having trouble with, and then he would cry out to God. Well, he'd freak out and want wisdom desperately from God. And then a thought would pop into his head, a scripture would come to him, and he would have these deep spiritual insights from the Holy Spirit of God straight to my heart, exactly what I needed. And then we prayed together and I was healed from whatever sin issue was there. And that's happened so many times, okay? So you can be a new believer, cry out to God, and then God gives you the answer and enables you to shepherd your wife if you're a man. That does happen. And actually, James chapter 1 verse 5 says, if you ask for wisdom, he will grant it. Let's see, James chapter 1 verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So as a husband, if you're listening to this as a man, you ask God for wisdom in shepherding your wife, and he will give it to you on the spot if you want it with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you freak out Godward, he will give you the wisdom that is exactly what your wife needs, because he will enable you to shepherd your wife, because he said so and he's not a liar. Okay, so your husband can lead you spiritually, but you need to yield to him spiritually. And I've written a lot of blog posts about submission to your husband and different things like that on my website, susanevans.org. It's under Faith Made Real, if you click on that, and then go to the marriage section. There's a huge marriage section right now. There's over 50 articles and videos, and I've done webinars. I'm going to do some more marriage webinars in a couple months. So anyways, if you're wondering how that works as far as roles, that's a whole different topic. I'm talking about prayer. Prayer cracks you open to the spiritual life of the other person. And when it's your spouse, like I said, you're supposed to be one anyway. And so this enables you to be one. How do you get your husband to pray with you? You need to love and accept him for who he is, not judging whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. You have to believe the best in him already. So if that's not in place, then you ask God to change you so that you have a high opinion of your husband. Because until that happens, it's hard for him. Okay, so make the situation surrounding it to be the best situation possible by God transforming you as much as possible to facilitate him coming to Christ through prayer aloud with you. Now, I've read some books about praying as a couple, and I've gleaned all the information that I could from those. But and one of the really neat things that I saw in that book, and one of the books, was that couples who were angry with each other while they were still furious, they bowed their heads and they prayed, and then after that 5 minutes, they had reconciled. You know why? Because when you pray, you acknowledge your own sin, and all the other person wants is for the other person to admit that they were wrong. And that happens during prayer, usually, okay? So, like, you know, when we bow our heads, and then I would pray, you know, And then I would see that I had done wrong, so I can at least ask God to forgive me for my part of it. And then that causes, you know, my husband to go, oh, because she's admitting her sin in the situation or her being wrong. That makes me feel bad. Okay, now I feel bad about my part, you know? And so just praying, if you force yourself to just pray, even if you're furious at each other. Okay, so that's just like in the worst case scenario, you're furious at each other. You could sit right then and pray with each other, and that heals your relationship right there and then. Or any other time when you're not upset with each other, when you pray, it draws you closer together. Okay, so what do you do if your spouse doesn't want to pray out loud with you? Well, one method that you can use is you can both sit together and hold hands and pray silently together. This is a great first step to drawing you closer together. And this can draw you closer together, believe it or not. It can. And then you just keep doing this until you are ready to pray out loud. And part of it is the transformation of the wife in how she relates to her husband. A lot of times, a woman, when she prays out loud with her husband, she preaches to her husband. She's chatting to her husband and not to God. And that is phony and yucky. And a husband can see through the hypocrisy of his wife. And many, if not most, women do this. And that's why their husbands hate praying with them, because they're basically chit-chatting or preaching to the husband. So, I even have friends who, okay, it's better if they tell you about their stuff before you start praying. And then you can lift up new stuff to the Lord that you didn't say to your friend or whatever, but don't start talking as if you're talking to that other person. Okay, because you're talking to God. You're talking to God. You're not talking to that other person. And don't guilt trip your husband through your prayer, manipulating your prayer to make them feel yucky or whatever. That's not prayer. That you, fresh and clean before the Lord, rip your heart open to the Lord and reach upwards. And fresh and cleanly, you pray straight to God. And oh my gosh, your husband will love that. Be vulnerable. You're supposed to be vulnerable with each other, you know? And the more vulnerability, the more the other person just adores you. It's true. It's highly appealing physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in every way. So do that, okay? Honesty trumps religiosity, okay? And that goes both ways. For him, he'll probably be honest. He probably doesn't like all the big, fat religious words, and he probably feels like he can't pray that way, and therefore you will think worse of him, and therefore he's not going to pray, and he will dig in, and he's not going to pray, dang it, you know? And that's how it is. So if that's how it is, then you need to change the way that you pray so that your prayers are not all religiosity verbiage. You know, your verbiage, your word usage shouldn't be all flowery in a way that's not real. If that's not the way you actually talk, it might not be a way that your husband can relate to you. So talk to God the way that you talk to your husband. Hopefully, I mean, that's not, I'm not talking about yelling or anything, but talk in an honest, real way, and you'll see your own conversations with God are deeper and better, and admit your own shortcomings to God in front of your husband, and then they can see that you are, you know, that you love the Lord with all your heart. And that that will cause them to ponder and be interested in prayer more. Okay, so let's see. For the couples who are fighting, that situation that I was talking about, it was not just one, it was many different couples who said that they had been fighting and they prayed during the fighting. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." In other words, don't go to bed angry at your spouse. It's better to talk it out and pray than to let it simmer. What happens is if you let it go overnight, it turns into bitterness. Hebrews 12:15 says, "Do not let bitterness get a foothold." Okay? And bitterness does get a foothold and it grows and grows and grows and grows. Most women are bitter at their husbands. That's a fact. Okay? I even used to be bitter at my husband. I talk about this in my Don't Fight Over Finances audio. That's in my e-store at susanevans.org. Don't Fight Over Finances. And I show how to get rid of bitterness. I was bitter at my husband about finances. So, but you could be bitter about maybe he cheated on you or I don't know. I mean, that would be horrible. I can't imagine not being bitter, you know, if he ruins your life or whatever. But you can yield that to God and get rid of it. Okay. And actually, you know what, if you're bitter at your husband, that's going to be hard for you to pray with them, you know? So maybe you should get rid of that. Yeah, definitely get rid of that bitterness first. Ask God, just reach upward and say, "Help God, help me. Please remove this bitterness from my heart. I don't want it to be here. Please forgive me for being bitter and change me and help me to love him the way that you love him." So let's see, how did my own husband start to pray with me? Because actually, my husband did not like to pray out loud. He still to this day doesn't enjoy praying out loud, although he's a much stronger prayer person. He prays in public. He's prayed in front of the entire church several times. So he does lead people in prayer. He leads me in prayer all the time. He leads our children in prayer. So he does lead other people in prayer. How did he break through hating praying out loud? How does he overcome that, you know, whenever he prays? Because what happened to him was when he was in college, he prayed to the Lord purely with all his heart, and another man ripped his prayer to shreds. After the prayer, he criticized it and said all these pompous, horrible things, and it was the enemy, because my husband didn't pray in an evil way whatsoever. Anyways, so after having his prayer ripped to shreds, he said to himself, "I'm never praying aloud again." Okay, so if your husband has similar baggage, or if you have similar baggage, you know, ask the Lord to help to change you if you have that baggage. And like I said, if you just blurt it out, just cry out to God in a very real way in front of your spouse, it should be fine. Okay. That's what bonds you together. It's what helps your marriage. It helps the other person then values you more and more deeply. And then also they love you more, you know? And so you get more of what you actually wanted when you obey in this way to be one with your spouse. Let's see. Okay, so I had a desperation. I had nowhere else to turn. This is okay. What caused my husband to start praying with me when he said, "No way, Jose, I'm never praying out loud again." So how do you get someone like that who's not even cracked open whatsoever to begin praying with you? And I mean, see, my husband has a deep walk with God. He has loved and served the Lord and studied his word for years and years. So the fact that he did not want to pray with me didn't mean that he was not godly. So if your husband doesn't want to pray with you, that doesn't mean that he's just a piece of dirt and he's scum. No, he is high. He is above you. Just like, okay, all people in the body of Christ are above you. Okay. Scripture says in Philippians 2, regard one another as more important than yourself. So any person, okay, all the other people are more important than they are. And that's how you treat other people. You look up to everyone. Okay. So look up to your husband. He is your husband. He's one with you. Look up to him. Believe the best in him. In the core of his being, he has been transformed to be a new creation. Christ lives in him. Okay. He might be giving into the flesh right this second, if he's screaming at you or if it's hard in one way or the other. But deep down in there, Christ is there, and he is a new creation, and he wants to do what's right, even if he's gotten into a habit of sinning in a certain area. It's like you might have a stronghold in a certain area of sin. Like I had a stronghold in the area of anger. I felt like I was frustrated all the time and stuff. You might have a stronghold of discontent. And so you just have a rumbling underneath and you're always complaining about everything. And that's just a stench to your husband. But he puts up with that. What I'm saying is that whatever sin issue your husband has, and maybe he does struggle with something like pornography or I don't know what, but let's say he does, don't look down on him like he's a piece of dirt. Look up to him, that in the core of his being, he wants to please God. He's trapped in the flesh. He's in a position of a habit pattern of sin, just like you have habit patterns of sin also. You're equal in your sin against God. You just put some sins as higher than others, when in reality, your sins are just as a stench. It's the same. It's the same. I'm serious. Before the Lord, God screams in agony at all sin. So just look up to your husband because he's saved, regardless of anything he does outwardly that is wrong. Okay. If you believe in him, he will rise to it. Okay. I mean, believe the best in your husband. Don't attribute wrong motives to him. You know, just love him for who he is and look up to him and ask God to transform your heart and mind to help you to look up to him. And then once you're treating him like that, it's called respect. Oh my gosh, it puts wind under his sails and he feels like he's a man and he will live up to it. Okay. I came to my husband expecting that he would lead me spiritually at a time where he probably couldn't. Isn't that funny? He didn't know how. He had no clue. He was freaked out Godward, and then God gave him wisdom and he shepherded me and it was beautiful, you see. So it could be at any stage. You can look up to your husband. Look up to him. Like, for real. No matter what he does, that's not who he is. His sin is not who he is. Do you want him to think that your sin, that's who you are? God forbid. I don't want people thinking that my sin defines who I am. That is not who I am. I never want to sin again. I don't. I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I would hate it if someone characterized me as whatever sin they saw in me, because I'm not without sin. So, like, I'm sure someone can see a sin in me or whatever, and then if they say that's who I am, well, yuck. That makes you spin your wheels in the muck of despair and the chains of sin, and you're chained in the mud, and it's all yucky. That's what you're doing to your husband by not looking up to him. So set him free by looking up to him and seeing that he is a new creation, the core of his being wants to do what's right, regardless of what he's doing outwardly to grieve the spirit or whatever. I'm talking about all marriages. Your husband is going to sin. Okay, you're going to sin even if you don't want to sin, you're going to do it without thinking, and it wasn't, well, I'm not saying it wasn't your fault or whatever, but you just do it without thinking. And so what I'm saying is that you can be one with your husband if he is a believer, okay, because God has enabled him to lead you spiritually, and he is a new creation, so he is holy in the core of his being, regardless if he's trapped in the flesh and he does what's wrong. He is good in the core of his being. He is a transformed creation that happened at salvation. He has been justified by God. His sins have been forgiven, and so have yours, okay? You are a transformed creation. You, the core of your being, you desire to do what's right. You want, with all your heart and soul, you want to do what's right. And yet you see yourself fail, okay? And you see yourself doing the things you don't want to be doing, or getting angry or lashing out or whatever when you don't want to do that. It's the same with him, okay? So think highly of your husband, and that will transform how he views you in your relationship spiritually, and will enable him to pray with you. Okay, so it was at a time that I was desperate and had nowhere else to turn that my husband had to pray for me, or he would feel guilty that he wasn't doing the right thing because something was happening within our marriage and nobody else knew about it at the time, and I needed him desperately to pray with me, and so he prayed with me. Other times I was very angry or upset with another woman, either, I don't know, for whatever reason, and then he would pray with me, and then it would be gone. The sin would be gone, either of my pride or anger or whatever, toward the other person who is treating me wrongly. So what I'm saying is that God can draw you closer together when you pray with your spouse. So I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org. I hope you enjoyed this audio.